Tonight, I've got a little short message, as usual. Now, this one tonight is, well, it's encouraging, I suppose. Encourage you to not to do something. But it's more teaching and the one-string guitar thing, probably, a little bit on that side. It's called Not All Signs Are From God. And I want you to open to Acts chapter 9, please, verses 9 to 13, and it'll take me about 10 minutes or so. Not all signs are from God. Acts chapter 8, verses 9 to 13. Let's see what God's going to teach us tonight. Hey, if we didn't have the Word of God and we had to go by our own opinions, we'd all end up lost. We'd be walking around in darkness. But God's Word can teach us and tell us what we need to do. And this is one particular piece of Scripture. Acts chapter 8, verses 9 to 13, it says, "But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one." You notice that? Giving out of himself that he was some great one. "To whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, 'This man is the great power of God.'" Simon the sorcerer. "Here, this man is the great power of God. And to him they had regard, because that of long time he had bewitched them with sorceries." They'd been deceived. He had bewitched them with sorceries. Witchcraft, in other words. "But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God," all right, "and the name of Jesus Christ," they got born again, you see. Something got switched on. They said, "But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God, and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women." They became believers. They got born again. The Spirit became alive. "Then Simon himself believed also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done by Philip." All right? Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us to get something out of this that would be encouragement for us. Thank you, Lord, for your word. And as we've just said, Lord, thank you for giving it to us and instructing us from it, Lord. Otherwise, we would all be wandering around arguing about our own opinions about this and about that, Lord. We thank you that your word is truth, and that as we continue in it, you reveal all truth to us, Lord. And we thank you for shining your light from the Scriptures to help us, Lord, to walk in this dark and evil, dark time, Lord. And I pray for the people tonight as we read these Scriptures and learn from them, Lord, that you bless each one and strengthen us, Lord, for these evil days that we live in. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The biblical account recorded in the Scripture we just read probably sounds similar to what takes place in our society today. And not just secular society, where witchcraft, fortune-telling, and other occultic practices are common and popular, but also in the religious society, in the professing church, in other words. Notice the scenario. A religious leader by the name of Simon was performing numerous signs and wonders in the sight of the people of Samaria. And we are told in verse 9 that he claimed of himself that he was some great one. Verse 10 and 11 tells us that many of the people believed that Simon was a genuine man of God, not because he preached truth from the Scriptures, but because he had performed many incredible signs and wonders over such a long period of time. Right? They believed he was a man of God because of his signs and wonders. He had a long-standing reputation in the community, and he had bewitched the people into believing that his power to do these miraculous things came directly from God, the God of heaven, all right? Not only had he convinced the people of his importance, but he had also convinced himself as well. You know, there's a scripture that says, these people will come deceiving and being deceived. Oh, they deceive people, but they're being deceived themselves. Simon the sorcerer was one such person. However, when the apostle Philip came to Samaria and preached the biblical version of the gospel, and the people who heard and believed were sincerely saved, and then Philip performed genuine miracles as a result of God's anointing, the people of Samaria were able to discern a distinct difference between Simon's sorcery and witchcraft and the message Philip was presenting. With their new God-given ability to discern the real from the fake, when we get saved, the light gets switched on. There's an old saying, "I saw the light." God switches the light on, And we're able to understand spiritual things that we couldn't understand 5 minutes earlier. Alright? So, with their new God-given ability to discern the real from the fake, they soon realize that the ability to produce supernatural manifestations or to perform miracles did not, in and of itself, validate that the source of such miraculous power was the God of the Bible. They understood that, hang on, this is different, this stuff that Philip's doing. At this sorcerer, he's doing miracles too, but it's different, eh? We who live during the closing of the church age need to take heed, beware, and realize that Satan possesses incredible power, and he is always willing to reveal it to an experience-seeking and undiscerning world. He's always ready to show his power, you see, for people who are looking for it. Many of today's religious leaders, hey, having said that, back in my early days in the Pentecostal thing, people used to ask God for dreams. Give me a dream so I'll know what to do. And sure enough, they'd get a dream. Guess who's listening? And you'd think, oh, this dream's from God. No, no, no. That's not from God. And God doesn't lead us by dreams and visions. Does it agree with the Word? Oh, I didn't check that. Look out. Look out. Many of today's religious leaders, particularly those in the Pentecostal and charismatic denominations and the New Age religious communities, confidently and boldly claim that they are performing signs and wonders in the name of the God of the Bible, when in reality, their supposed miracles, signs and wonders, are no different than the demonically inspired sorceries that brought fame and prestige to Simon. Just because supernatural manifestations take place, or appear to be taking place, does not mean that such manifestations are from the Lord. You notice I said, appear to be? I'll tell you what, people that are looking for signs and wonders, they can be duped into thinking something's happened when it really hasn't. They can be fooled, because they're so desperate looking for some sign that whatever they see, you know, they talk about gold dust falling from the ceiling. And feathers. A feather fell down beside me as I was walking on the Esplanade this morning. That's a sign of the Holy Ghost. He's got a message for me. You see? They're into all this sort of thing. And if you're looking for stuff, sure enough, the devil will give it to you. The devil will give it to you. That's why the Pentecostal and charismatic churches are full of error. The devil is deceiving them. Anyhow, many preachers, evangelists, religious leaders and their followers today claim that the signs, wonders and miracles that are being performed, whether real or imagined, must be originating from God, just because they defy human explanation. But the Bible warns us that such reasoning is not scriptural. And as the title of my short message tonight implies, not all signs are from God. The devil will do everything possible to deceive us. Beware that we do not fall for his shrewd tactics. Satan has power too, and as the Bible warns, he can appear as an angel of light or as a roaring lion. Right? For example, 2 Corinthians 11:13, you don't have to turn there, I'll just read it out. 2 Corinthians 11:13 tells us, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ." Verse 14, "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light." Amen? Verse 15, "Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness. They'll look like true pastors in the church. They will be transformed to look like good pastors, whose end shall be according to their works." And what shall be the end of their works? Well, Matthew 7, 22 and 23, Jesus prophesies to these false miracle workers who enthusiastically profess him. He says, "In thy name," they say, "in thy name we have done many wonderful works." And in verse 23, Jesus tells them clearly, "And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Oh, we thought we were working for the Lord. Well, you should have checked his word. You should have listened to Huey. Huey could tell you. I told all those people out there. How many people come out of the AOG when we left? Well, there was a couple, but they went into all the other stupid stuff. They went into stupid stuff. Some ended up in that Baptist church in town and ended up in, you know, serving the lost in the park and drinks and food, but wouldn't give them the gospel, you see. Still walking off into error. They should have They should have got out of that stuff and stayed out of it. We did. Colleen and I did. Anyhow, our historical time period is identified. You know what? I'll tell you why. Let me tell you why. Some people, when they come out of that stuff, get on the right track and some people don't. Or they don't even want to come out. Some people will come out, some people don't. I'll tell you why. Some people are lovers of truth and some people aren't. And usually it's a sign that they're not actually saved in the first place. Because it says, when we get saved, we love truth. We become lovers of truth. From the scriptures, thy word is truth. And we love the word and we obey it. And you can tell somebody that's not really born again, you tell them from the word of God what God's saying, who cares? That's not a saved person. No Holy Spirit. Not switched on. Still dead. Anyhow, our historical time period is identified in Scripture as a perilous time when men shall be lovers of their own selves, when society and the church will seek after something to gratify their own fleshly lusts. And that includes seeking after something that will give a good feeling or gratify the emotions. In the church, rather than coming to hear the truth of the gospel, repenting of their sins and submitting themselves to the Lord's teaching, most, especially young, are coming seeking after the excitement of false religious experiences. It's all about their feelings being stimulated. I got an email today of a study that's been done in America about young people, or the Barna group that do all these surveys, and they found out that the churches aren't giving the young people what they want. That's why nobody's coming to church. We've got to give the people what they want, you see. Oh, you've got to be joking. You've got to be, all these social works. I think I'll preach a message on it. All these social works. These churches in America think the reason that their churches are all dying is because they're not meeting their social needs. They're not born again. They've got to be born again. Hey, what's the good of having a church full of people who aren't saved? What's the point? It's not a church. A church is supposed to be full of people that are saved. And they don't want to tell them the gospel. That might chase them away. No, don't tell them. Give them stuff that they want. Like a bar as you walk in the door. And a swimming pool. And carpet on the floor. And padded aeroplane seats to sit on. And a band up the front. You see? Entertain them. That's how you'll fill the church. And they got this big survey. They surveyed thousands and thousands and thousands of churches and pastors all around the world and came up with the answer. They're not giving the people their social needs. That's why the churches are getting empty. Well, who cares if they're getting empty if that's all they're giving them? What's the point of a church full of lost people? Anyhow, let's get on with it. It's all about their feelings being stimulated. Hey, don't start me up. It's all about their feelings being stimulated. In the AOG, we were taught that signs and wonders were the way to get unsaved people to come to church. That's what we were taught. And they were right. They were right. The leadership started bringing supposed miracle workers to town, and multitudes of people began turning up by the busload. But the people weren't coming to repent, but to seek after an experience, which the devil is always ready to accommodate. I remember when they brought this Rodney Howard Brown to town, there was all these buses out there on Sunday afternoon at the church. I went in the church and it's full of people. I couldn't get my chair where I always sat. I'd been sitting in that church for years. And some mob from, not even from Cairns, they come from the table end somewhere. The church was full of people because they brought Rodney Howard Brown to town. And everyone wanted to experience this laughing and gets healed or whatever, you know. And it was like bedlam in there. People walking around drunk. I felt like kicking one bloke. He's walking around in front of me pretending to be drunk. Said he's banging it on. Banging it on. And they go, no, he's spiritually drunk. He's drunk in the Lord. You've got to be joking. What does God say about drunkenness? He condemns it. Anyhow. They bought these people. They come by the busload. And there was standing room only in that big church out there. There was standing room only. We used to have about 300 turn up on a Sunday. Sunday morning, Sunday night. There was, I don't know how many was there. They were outside. They were everywhere. Couldn't fit in the hall. Anyhow, Scripture tells us that miraculous signs or emotional spiritual experiences are not the way of salvation. In Matthew 12:39, Jesus himself tells everyone that it's an evil and adulterous generation that seeketh after a sign. Evil and adulterous generation that seeks after a sign. Does Jesus say that or didn't he? Don't go seeking after signs, in other words. And he also said in Luke 16:31 that unless a person is genuinely seeking after the Lord, they will not be persuaded to the truth to be saved, even though some should rise from the dead. Jesus said that himself. Anyhow, beware. Not all that glitters is gold, as the saying goes. And as the people of Samaria discovered, once the Lord had opened their eyes to spiritual truth, they got born again, they understood not all signs are from God either, you see. Amen? And we need to understand that too. Hey, we'd have no problem with that here. We'd have no problem at all. Because I believe we're all born again. Amen. And the Holy Spirit, if you've got the Holy Spirit in you, He convicts you of error. He will convict you of error, you see. He convicts you and brings you along and teaches you. Alright? So, not all that glitters is gold, and not all signs are from God. Amen? Let's close in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for tonight. Thank you for these people, and thank you for this short word of encouragement for us, Lord, and teaching to help us to always remember, Lord, that there's deception rampant around us, Lord, and the devil is out to get us.